there's really exciting ways that individuals using photography can engage. But then just sharing those images as well and getting other people excited about birds in the natural world is critically important.
That's Jonathan Bailey, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Jonathan Bailey is the Executive Vice President and Chief Scientist of the National Geographic Society. Bailey joined the Society in 2016 after 20 years at the Zoological Society of London, where he most recently served as Conservation Programs Director, overseeing conservation projects focused on threatened species and their habitats in over 50 countries. He joins us to talk about National Geographic's The Splendor of Birds, Art and Photographs from National Geographic. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell us about how this book came together.
Well, at National Geographic, we've produced a range of books on birds, and we have, for example, the most popular field guide in North America. But this one's completely different. It's a dive into our archive, and it's taking images from 1888, when the Society started, all the way up to the present, focusing on birds. And with that, you get to see how our relationship with birds has changed through time and how the technology of filming birds and the style in which we film birds has changed, but also the information we have and the science. So what we knew in 1888 and what we know now is so different. And so it's really a historical perspective of our relationship with birds. And it's quite intimate because National Geographic really helped bring the interest and the diversity of birds to much of America, along with other key institutions like the Audubon Society. But it really helped generate this broader interest in birds, which has led to this strong movement where many people are out there watching birds and interested in them, want to protect them.
Why is it important that we continue to study birds?
Well, there's so many different birds, and the more we learn about them, the more we learn about their amazing behavior. You'll see in the book here, there's a bower bird, which collects certain colored pebbles for its nest to attract its mate. And that's just one example of the amazing, diverse behavior. But of course, they also play a role in society. They're reducing the insects that could be attacking our crops or keeping things in balance within forests, for example, or keeping insects down and helping us out a bit. But to me, it's more of a moral issue. It's the fact that these are, you know, every bird has a right to exist. They're beautiful, wonderful creatures. And we have a real responsibility to maintain these creatures for future generations. And we wake up in the morning, we hear the bird calls, and I hope that my children and grandchildren get to hear the same things.
Does the health of the bird population on the planet just also give us an idea of the health of the planet itself?
You know, we're facing some great challenges. When National Geographic started, there was 1.5 billion people on the planet, and there's now 7.6 billion. And going forward to 2050, we'll probably have about 10 billion people. So between now and 2050, we'll probably double water consumption, food consumption. And that puts a lot of pressure on the planet, and it means that a lot of the world's habitat that is currently natural will likely be converted unless we really drive forward innovation. You know, if you take all the biomass of birds as a whole, 70% of that is poultry, birds we either have for laying eggs or eating. And the remainder, the 30%, are wild. And if you look at birds as a total number, about 13% are threatened with extinction. And that's about 222 of those are critically endangered. And there's about 21 that could be extinct. We just haven't seen them for some time. And the trends are negative. So the status of birds is getting worse, but there are great success stories as well. And things like the Endangered Species Act in North America has been really important for protecting and helping these birds rebound. And in many areas of North America, the habitat has actually increased and improved, and it's allowed birds to do better. So where we focus conservation attention, we often win. But overall, there's a decline.
You mentioned earlier that bird watching continues to be a growing activity. What advice do you have for people who do want to engage in activity? What advice do you have for bird watchers?
Well, the first thing is just to start with local birds and get to learn those species, learn the songs, identify the individuals, start to learn their behavior, share that excitement, and get other people out, and then start to think about what birds in your area need to thrive. And often these birds are migratory, so they have to have a safe winter range, summer range, and a path in between. and to just work with local conservation organizations and also think about our consumption as a whole so that we're not threatening the birds that live in our landscapes.
For many bird watchers, photographing them is also part of the activity. So what advice do you have folks who would like to photograph birds?
Well, we love it when people are photographing birds because we can get some good images, and we have many sort of social media sites where we can get those great images up, but also can contribute to citizen science. So there's opportunities through eBird, there's opportunities through iNaturalist, these citizen science tools where you can submit your data and either help to identify or have those images identified. And then they become data points, and then we can understand the distribution of that particular species and also how it's changing through time, and it can give insight into things like climate change. What impact is it having on birds and their distribution? And that's all driven by the public. So there's really exciting ways that individuals using photography can engage, but then just sharing those images as well and getting other people excited about birds in the natural world is critically important.
As you pointed out earlier, this book is about the history of National Geographic when it comes to the study of birds, and obviously contains some wonderful photographs, but it also contains excerpts from the writing of many great explorers. Tell us about what readers will find in that regard.
Well, one of the first excerpts is with George Seurat, and he was actually hunting birds or shooting them, but then put down his gun and picked up a camera. And there was a great decline in brown pelicans and egrets and other birds that had beautiful feathers because they're being used for hats. And he made the argument that we had to stop this decline. And he had the Pelican Island declared as the first federal wildlife reserve. And now there's over 500 around the world. And you see the image of this little brown pelican in the book, and you hear the story of this individual, the photographer who helped highlight the issues. He then went on to create the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which is what we're really celebrating as Year of the Bird in 1918. And that legislation led to the Endangered Species Act and has helped protect many, many, many species. So between the amazing photos, you get these little stories of courageous people who have really changed the game for birds. And each one has a really special explorer-led story to tell.
How do you hope that readers will use this book?
I think part of it is just flipping through and remembering some of the images that we all grew up with through National Geographic, and that's exciting in itself. Seeing the compilation is amazing and just makes you think about history and what's changed and how our relationship with nature has changed. And as I'm sure you have, you flip through it, it just makes you smile. And to see just the way that National Geographic and only National Geographic can really capture these species, you get that magical sense of this other world. And you also see that the technology and now our ability to see things like the beat of the wings of a hummingbird, which we could have never captured before, or have a critter cam, which is a little camera that goes on the bird so you can feel what it feels like to actually fly like a bird. So all seeing that progression is magical. In some ways, it gives you hope because you see that the technology improving, with the science improving, and with our understanding of the threats, we really have the tools to do something about it.
The book is The Splendor of Birds, Art and Photographs from National Geographic. Jonathan, thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.
Jonathan Bailey is the Executive Vice President and Chief Scientist of the National Geographic Society. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. And you can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.